Well, let's pray and ask God to be with us in these next few moments. Amen. Jesus, we're so thankful for your presence and your love in our lives. Oh, God. Some of us can testify that we have seen you move in our lives. And we can testify that you've kept us, that you've saved us, and that you have rescued us in our time of need. And so we're thankful for that this morning. I pray for each and every one of us, Lord, that you would minister to our hearts and our minds. I thank you for the kids downstairs, even as we hear them cheering and celebrating. What a joy to be able to be a community where we minister to our children. I pray you would bless them as they're down there. You would bless their time, Lord. Thank you for the young people that are part of this house and this church. And we ask that you would continue to minister to our young people, Lord. And I thank you for all of us here today. May your name be glorified in and through us. I ask that you would stand in this my body, that you would think with my mind and speak with my tongue. Say to us in this house those things that you would have us know. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Praise God, praise God. So I had a birthday this week. I turned 40. Oh, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. 40 years old. Yikes. Right? That moment has come. I cannot fake it anymore. I am an adult. I can't pretend anymore. I am an official adult. But you know, when you turn 40, you start thinking about life. And maybe other years too, but there's something about this one. It's hit me differently than any of the other ones for some reason. You know, it's just one year. I was 39 last year, now I'm 40. But there's something about this one that is a little bit different. And so I've been a little bit more introspective and thinking about life and thinking about what kind of things I have done in my life, what kind of habits, what are the things that in my life that have led me to this point. And we're starting a series that we started last week called Starting Strong. Everyone say Starting Strong. And our prayer for this series is that every one of us will be equipped with the tools that we need to start 2018 strong so that we'll be able to accomplish more than we have before. Amen? And if we are intentional, there's something about intentionality that God uses to work in our lives. When we're intentional about starting strong this year. The first part of the series has to do with starting strong by looking at our spiritual habits. The second part of the series will be talking about spiritual friendships, and I hope that you join us for the entirety of our series. It's great. I'm personally very excited about it. But we learned last week that a habit, and that's the first fill-in that you have there if you have your notes in front of you, a habit is a settled or regular tendency or practice, especially one that is hard to give up. And I've been thinking as I've turned 40, what are the habits, what are the things that I have kind of settled in me, a settled tendency or practice, especially one that's hard to give up. And the question for all of us is, what are you, some of your habits? What are the things that you do? I shared last week that one of the habits that I started a few weeks ago was flossing my teeth. And some of you think, oh, Pastor, you didn't floss your teeth. That's right, I never did. I go to the dentist every 6 months, and they'd say, you need to floss. And I'm like, oh, yes. And I've had that chance. Like, yeah, I really should floss. And then I'd walk out of the dentist, and I would forget about the whole thing, right? And then 6 months later, I would remember. But about 3 weeks ago, I started flossing as a challenge from someone that I had seen. And I've been flossing every day. And now, I was going to, yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, don't clap for 40. Clap for this, yes. Pastor Lewis has clean teeth. Hallelujah. There is a God in heaven. And I'm thankful for that. But one, you know, even last night I was watching a game. I was tired. I'm like, I'm just going to go to bed. But I could not go to bed without, because it's become part of my what? My routine, my habits. And see, what happens is if we have goals and resolutions for the year, but we don't attach a habit to that resolution, it's not going to happen. If the goals don't have a habit, something that you continually do every day, it's not going to happen. And today we're talking about starting strong with the spiritual habit of prayer. I was going to talk about prayer and fasting, but we're actually going to talk about fasting next week, and we're going to talk about prayer today. There's a story about a missionary in the continent of Africa that was walking in the jungle when he heard the sounds of something behind him. And we looked, there was a lion behind him, and it was starting to get closer. And he started to run, and the lion started running right after him. And in the middle of his run, he said, "Oh, Lord God," the missionary prayed, "grant in your goodness that this lion chasing behind me is a good Christian lion." And then, in the silence that followed, all of a sudden everything stopped, and he turned around, and the missionary looked at the lion, and he said, he saw the lion on his knees praying. This was a miracle. But then he heard the lion praying these words. The lion said, "Oh Lord, I thank you for this food which I'm about to eat." It's interesting that most people associate being a Christian or a follower of Jesus with praying, right? We think about, oh, that person's got to be praying. In the case of the missionary, it didn't help him very much because the lion naturally simply prayed over his food. It's Martin Luther King Jr. Day coming up here tomorrow. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, "To be a Christian without prayer is no more possible than to be alive without breathing." That's what Martin Luther King said about prayer. Before, and we're going to look at this amazing power of the habit of prayer here together. We're going to look at a story where prayer was not just something nice that Christians did, but it was something that had to do with survival, with strength, with courage. But I want you to think, first of all, what are your daily or weekly habits? Praise God if you floss, but how about your spiritual habits? What is the health of your spirit? I want my mouth to be healthy. I want our bodies to be healthy. I want our minds to be healthy. What is the condition of your soul? What are the habits, spiritual habits, that you have? Is there anything that you do on a consistent basis that is helping you become a champion for God? Overcome your trials, get closer to Him? This year, we want to start strong. And let's together look at what is possible when we incorporate the habit of prayer into our daily life. There's a story in the Bible. It's found in the book of Daniel, chapter 6. If you have a Bible, you can look it up. If not, we'll put it up on the screens for you. And you also have some of it on your sheet here. Of how the kingdom of Israel and Judah had been destroyed by the empire of Babylon. Everybody say Babylon. This is a powerful, powerful word. They took many Jews as slaves and captive back to their land. The king of Babylon kind of understood the power of human resources. Sometimes enemy kings would go in and destroy everyone. This king said, "No, I'm going to take some people with me, and I want to use them to the betterment of the kingdom of Babylon." He understood human resources. You know, sometimes even wicked people understand the value of human beings more than we do. I don't know about you, but sometimes my prayers are not just, I was sharing this with Amy this week, my prayer sometimes is not just that God would make me holy and would allow me to be a blessing to people, but even how I view people. The God, that I view people as people of value, of eternal worth in the eyes of God, whether they're knocking on the door, drug addicts who are looking for a dollar or two. God sees value in those people, whether they're president of the United States, senators, or congressmen. The mayor, Amy and I got to go to the mayor's inauguration this past week, and we got to take a selfie with the mayor. It was kind of cool. There was a ton of people there. We're like, "Oh, we're never going to get to her." And we were like, "Well, but maybe if we just..." And eventually, all of a sudden, there she was. And we're like, "Okay, we're taking a selfie." And it was really cool. It was a blessing. But God loves and honors and values Mayor Lovely Warren's soul just as much as someone out there in the streets. Amen? Just as much as you and as much as me. This king saw the value in people, even slaves, and he said, "I want to train them for my purposes." Although they were slaves, these men would receive training in the things of Babylon and serve their interests in the land. You've heard of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Those are three men that were part of this group, but Daniel was as well. I introduce them because here were genuine followers of God who were taken captive. And can I just say something? Not all the bad things that happen in your life are the result of you being your fault. Sometimes bad things happen to good people, amen? So it just happens. We don't control everything. Here are men who were honoring God and were taken as slaves. They were taken out of their homes into a foreign land. And if you are not originally from the United States, you can relate to these men. Amen? If you're from a foreign land, if you come from a warm climate country, I pray for all of us that the Lord will have mercy with this Rochester, New York weather. Praise God. These guys were slaves. They were in a foreign land, forced to study and learn the ways of the Babylonians. How did they make it in this culture? How do you make it? I don't know about you, but if I was taken slave, I would be depressed. I would be down. I've been taken out of my land now. I'm in a foreign place. I'm being forced to learn some other things. How did these guys make it? Because they made it. And we still tell their stories today. How did they make it in a culture and a government different than their own? In the book of Daniel, the story is told that God gave Daniel favor, and he became one of the king's most trusted advisors and leaders, even as a slave after his time of learning. And there's all kinds of cool stuff that happens in that story. I would encourage you to read the story of Daniel because it's fascinating. But fast forwarding a little bit all the way to chapter 6, Daniel became one of the leaders, one of the most trusted guys of the entire kingdom, okay, is what the Bible says. Daniel 6 verse 3 says, "Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom." That was a great honor. The other leaders in the country, satraps and governors, were so jealous that they wanted to take him down. They realized that the only thing that they could bring Daniel down was concerning his relationship with God. This guy was so focused. He was such a man of integrity that his enemies, can I just say, no matter how right you do, you're always going to have enemies. It doesn't matter how good you are or how perfect everything is. There's always going to be someone that's ticked off at you. Amen? It's just the way it is. Thank God. The Apostle Paul says, "I'm not trying to please people, but God." Amen? Someone says, if I live my life trying to please people, I'll never please everyone. But I can't do that. I can't please every person, but I can please God. Amen? And so let's work and live our lives so that we will be pleasers of God. But Daniel distinguished himself among those administrators with his exceptional qualities. The king wanted to set him over the whole kingdom, but they were jealous of him. And so they put together an evil plan where they would say, "Okay, let's go to the king. Let's pretend like we're all in on this together. And let's tell him, let's make a law that says everyone in this nation is to pray to you only for 30 days. And everyone who doesn't pray to you only for 30 days will be thrown into the lion's den." So this is the story of Daniel and the lion's den. A lion's den was kind of like a cave, a hole, a place where they would have lions in there, and there was no food or anything, and they would be covered up with a stone. There was no food or anything. So anything that was thrown into the den, the lions would eat. Are you with me? Because they had no more other food, whatever went in there was going to be eaten. And so they said, 30 days we pray to the king only, otherwise the person who prays to anyone else, any other god, will be thrown into the lion's den. And here's where I want us to see how our spiritual habits. Everyone say spiritual habits. Spiritual. Say it again. Spiritual habits. Spiritual. Overcame this situation. Daniel distinguished himself. And you and I can learn also that the path to distinguishing ourselves in whatever we do in life can be the path of Daniel. Amen? He can help us. The Bible says that when Daniel heard about the law being passed, this law that he knew was going to cause persecution for him, here's what he did. "Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. 3 times a day he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before." Just as he had done before. Some principles that we're going to learn here from the life of Daniel and his prayer life. Here's some things that we can learn. The first one is this. Number one is the place where he prayed. I want to talk about the place where he prayed. Daniel went home to pray, the Bible says. Now, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went where? He went home to pray. We can assume that this was the place where he habitually did his praying. And it's interesting, and we can learn from Daniel, that the place where he spent most of his time, assumedly, was home, was also the place where he prayed. He didn't go to a temple or to a friend's house, and there's nothing wrong with that, but he went home. It was a place, his home was a place of prayer. And may you and I establish our homes as places of prayer for us and for our families. Amen? So the first principle we learn from Daniel is concerning the place where he prayed. The second thing that we see here from Daniel is the boldness of his prayers. The boldness of his prayers. Even though a law had just been passed saying that he could not pray to God, the God of the Hebrews, Daniel moved forward and continued to do what he knew to be right. Everyone else in the kingdom was succumbing to the law of the king. But Daniel continued to pray to his God because he knew what was more important. And may you and I be bold in our prayers, even when no one else is believing, even when no one else is standing for Jesus. Lord, give us the courage to pray bold prayers. The second principle we learn from Daniel is the boldness of his prayers. And let me just say this. I just watched a movie called The Case for Christ. It's on Netflix if you want to check it out. Very well done movie. Powerful. It's a true story about an atheist who comes to study the claims of Christ and comes to be a believer. And I'm not spoiling that because that's actually very well known. But you've got to see the story. It's really powerful. I recommend it. It's called The Case for Christ. But throughout that movie, the husband was always saying, I don't believe in this. This is false. I am not believing in this God of yours. I'm not believing in Jesus. And his wife, who had become a believer. Those of you who are familiar with the Leadership Summit, Bill Hybels shows up in the movie. That's all I'll say. So you gotta check that out. But anyway, she had been attending church, Bill Hybels' church in Chicago, and she was praying for her husband bold prayers. She would pray every day for him. She would pray, God, I thank you that you're taking my husband's heart that is a heart of stone and that you're turning it into a heart of flesh. And every day, even though he was mean and he was doing things that would have driven many, many other women away, she was, God, I thank you that you're turning his heart of stone to a heart of flesh. She prayed boldly, and you'll find out what happens. It's a powerful, powerful story. I would recommend it. But Daniel didn't just have a place at home where he prayed. He prayed boldly. He opened up the windows, and he prayed. Then we see the next thing is the direction of his prayers. The direction of his prayers. The scripture says that Daniel prayed towards Jerusalem. Jerusalem represented his home country. It's also where the temple had been, the place where God dwelt. It was the place where God had met with the people of Israel. So Daniel was careful about the direction of his prayers. His heart was towards Jerusalem. Question, where is your heart and mine when we pray? What direction is our heart pointed to? Is it pointing to ourselves? God, help me, bless me, fix me. There's a time for everything. Is it pointing to other people? Is it pointing to problems that we have in our lives? Where should we point our prayers? What should the direction of our prayers be? And here's where we ask the help of Jesus. Everyone say, Jesus. It's always a good idea to ask Jesus for help. Amen? And the disciples asked Jesus to show them how to pray. How do we do this? What direction should we pray in? And here's what Jesus says. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. And he goes on and prays the Lord's Prayer. I'm just going to quickly go through it with you. And this is a practice that you can do at home every day. Use the Our Father as a guide, as a help for your prayers. Notice the consistent direction of this prayer is towards Our Father in heaven. And it's a great practice. Our Father recognizes who our Father is, God, and he is the one who is Lord over our lives. He is in heaven. Our Father in heaven. Sometimes we have problems calling God our Father because our daddy on earth wasn't a very good daddy. And so we always assume, sometimes people assume, that the same way that our daddy treated us is the way that our heavenly dad treats us. But can I just tell you, our heavenly Father is different. He is unique. If you had a great dad, this heavenly Father is better. Amen? And we can learn from the scriptures what kind of father he is. So we start our prayer, our Father, who art in heaven. In other words, he can see more than you can see. He can see deeper into your heart than anyone else can. God sees our Father in heaven. And that's a great place to start. Your kingdom come acknowledges that God has a kingdom and therefore he is king. Amen. He is the king. There is a kingdom of his to be established that is different than all the other kingdoms of the world. This is the kingdom of the Father. Your kingdom come, your will be done. It recognizes that there are things that our Father wants to see happen. He has a will, and we should pray for what God wants to happen as opposed to what we want to happen. I found this powerful, powerful quote from a man named E. Stanley Jones. He said this: prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. If I throw out a boat hook from the boat, so if I'm on the boat and I need to get to land, and I throw out a boat hook to try to get to the land and catch hold of the shore and pull, do I pull the shore to me, or do I pull myself to the shore? What do you think? That's right. That's right. Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but the aligning of my will to the will of God. Amen? So prayer is throwing out that lifeline to God. And it's not bringing him over to our side, but it's us getting closer to him. It's the anchor. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, in our world, in my life, family, in our community, city, and world. Your kingdom and your will. Give us this day our daily bread. This speaks of our dependency on God for survival. The most basic of foods is bread. What we need to survive comes from you, God. I don't need all this other stuff. I don't need Netflix. I don't need cable TV. I don't need to be from one relationship to another, to another, to another. What I need is the daily bread from God. Amen? That's what I need to survive. Give it to us, Lord. It's a prayer of provision. And forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. God's forgiveness. We have been forgiven our debt. Amen? We have a spiritual debt that we cannot pay. And Jesus paid for it all. He wrote a check with his own blood. And he paid for it all. It's a prayer of receiving and grant us forgiveness. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I encourage you to pray this prayer every day. By the way, it takes about 21 seconds to say that prayer. If you memorize it, it takes 21 seconds. There's a book out called 21 Seconds to Change Your Life. Because every time that you say the Lord's Prayer, you are drawing, you are getting closer, you're throwing out the boat hook and getting closer to God, what God wants from you. Daniel prayed towards Jerusalem. We pray the Our Father. Amen? So there's the place where he prayed, the boldness of his prayers, the direction of his prayers. Number four is the consistency of his prayers. The consistency of his prayers. The passage says that Daniel prayed how many times a day? Three times a day. Thank you. Three times a day. And he did just as he had done before. In other words, he's not just praying because there's trouble and he's in a crisis. I don't know about you, but I'm really good at praying when all hell's breaking loose in my life. But if things are fine, everything's okay, I'm okay. You know, sometimes I'll pray tomorrow. I'll pray some other time. Daniel prayed three times a day, just like he did before the crisis, during the crisis. Amen? There's something about this. I know praying is hard. I know that. It's hard for me to establish the habit. What I'm trying to show you here is that great men and great women do consistent prayers when average people do it occasionally. Meaning, we'll never see everything that God wants for us if we are not consistent in our conversations with God. Can I just tell you? What kind of relationship do you think I would have if I spoke to Amy every couple of days? What do you think? Hey, hope the last few days have been good. I'm good. You're good. All right, I'll see you later. I'll see you in a couple of days. What do you think? You know, our relationship is not going to be what it's supposed to be. So that's why in the morning we try to have conversations. Let's pray together. Let's think about our day. What are we doing? How are you? How are you feeling? We try to, at the end of the day, we try to connect again. Why? Because we're trying to stay close, right? We're trying to have a growing, thriving relationship. Well, it's the same with God. God is longing to have a conversation with you and with me. He wants to speak to you. And here's the thing. There are things that I find out in prayer that I don't find out any other way. There are things that I see about myself in prayer that I could never have seen in any other way. Why? Because when I talk to God who created me, he is smarter than I am. And when I pray to him and I'm quiet and I listen for his voice, he starts speaking to me through his word. And as I pray, his whispers come into my ear and remind me of some things. And we're going to talk about that in a moment. He prayed three times a day. just like he had done before. There's a C.S. Lewis quote that's really powerful that basically says this. It says that C.S. Lewis says that when we wake up, all the cares of our life are trying to push at us. And they're trying to get our attention. But what we have to do is push those things aside when we go into prayer and start listening to what he calls the other voice, the voice of God. Because this world is very loud, isn't it? I mean, right away, you can get up, you can turn on the TV, you can turn on the radio, and it starts, you know, boom, 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 it starts speaking to you. Even your family, your kids, daddy, I need this, mommy, this, whatever it is. No, wait, I need to hear from God first. I need to push those things away. I need to hear from the Lord. The next thing that we learn, so we talk about the place where he prayed, the boldness of his prayers, the direction of his prayers, the consistency of his prayers. And Jesus said to his disciples, watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. That's why we've got to be constant in prayer, because my flesh is weak. And if I get strength from God today, I'm going to need more strength tomorrow. The next thing is the posture of his prayers. The posture of his prayers. Daniel, the scripture says, when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows open towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his what? He got down on his knees and prayed. He got down on his knees and prayed. So I want to talk about the posture of prayer for a second. Daniel understood that it was all about what God had done for him, his power and his salvation. That we may pray, that we may realize that in a posture of humility, that it is God who saves us, not ourselves. So when we talk about starting strong and we talk about the spiritual habit of prayer, I'm not telling you that if you do these things, then everything will be fine. No, what I'm saying is this. If you want to be close to God like Daniel was, and you want to overcome like Daniel did, there are some practices that he did that you and I can learn from, but it's not the cross. Jesus Christ paid for you and for me on the cross. Are you with me? We do not earn salvation by how much pray or how good we are or how often we go to church. We do not earn it, but we can. Dallas Willard says this. He says, Christianity is not against effort, but it is against earning. It's not against effort. That means Daniel prayed three times a day. He was seeking God. He made an effort to connect with his God. That's what we're asking you. Connect to God. Connect to others. Serve one another and share God's love. Because it takes effort to be a follower of Jesus. But we don't earn his love that way. He paid the price for his love. Amen. On the cross of Calvary. But our posture, because we realize that, because we realize it's not about us, our posture has to be a humble posture, a humility. I don't always pray on my knees, but you know what? There's sometimes where I'm just kind of praying and I'm kind of talking to God, and sometimes I just sense I need to humble myself before God. And honestly, sometimes I tell the Lord, I don't feel like getting on my knees. I don't want to do that. But something happens when I get on my knees and I say, oh God, I'm just reminded of who God is and who I am, that he has all the power, and that without him, I am nothing. And sometimes I even get on my face before the Lord. The scripture says about Jesus that he prayed before the Lord one time. And he said, it says, going a little further, he fell with his face to the ground and prayed. My Father, if it's possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. May our posture be like Daniel and even Jesus before the Father, a posture of humility towards God. The Daniel story goes on to say how they did arrest Daniel for breaking the law. He was doing the right thing and he got arrested. Can I get an amen? How many of you love the idea of doing exactly what God wants you to do and still getting in trouble? Don't you love that? No, we don't like that at all. But listen, within Christianity, there's something bigger than our circumstances. This, what's happening in here, is more important than what's happening out here. The king loved Daniel and so was disturbed by the law that he had carelessly signed and passed. They took Daniel because he was praying to his God three times a day, even though the law said he couldn't do it. They threw him into the lion's den. Remember, lions, the only food they get is whatever is thrown in there. And it just happened to be, today your meal is Daniel. The Bible says that the next morning, as soon as the sun began to rise, the king went to the den and called out to Daniel. Scripture says this, when he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. This is the king, because the king knew that Daniel was a great man, a man of integrity, a man of God. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God whom you serve continually, let's say continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? The king knew something about Daniel. And if you are consistent in your walk with God, if you're consistent in your connection with him, people around you will know something about you. You know what? They might not be perfect, but they are consistent in talking about Jesus. They are consistent in their walk with God. They're consistent in loving their spouse. They're consistent in loving their kids. There's something about your life that speaks even to kings. Daniel answered. The king asked, has God been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, may the king live forever. He's already talking, so he knows he's alive. My God sent his angel. My God sent his angel. This is God's work. He didn't say, king, I pray three times a day. Ain't nothing going to happen to me. I'm good because I got this. Nope. My God sent his angel on my behalf. Do you understand the human? Daniel was favored. He was one of the great men in this country, but he still had a humble spirit because he knew how to get on his knees and cry out to God. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight, nor have I ever done any wrong before you, your majesty. The king got him out of the den, and then had all of his accusers and their families thrown into the den to prove that it was a genuine miracle. The Bible says that as they were thrown in, before they hit the floor, those lions were so hungry that they had already crushed their bones. The final principle here that we learn from Daniel is the results of his prayers. The results of his prayers. By the way, after he got out, the king made a proclamation. He said, I declare, the king of Babylon, I declare that the God of Daniel is the real God. Wow. Wow, the results of his prayers. God honored Daniel's consistent prayers. The results were amazing. For you and me, it's important to realize that every single time we go to God in prayer, there's many things that happen, but I'm just talking about three this morning. Three things that happen when you and I go to prayer, okay? Are you ready? Here's the three things. Number one is, and this is under number six, the results of his prayer. The number one is, reminds us. Prayer reminds us who we are and who God is. It reminds of where we have been and what is possible with God. It reminds us to trust him, that his power is greater than any other. Every time we sing that song, do it again. He says, I've seen you move. You moved the mountains. I believe you're going to do it again. You made a way when there was no way. It moves me because after I lost Joanne, I thought I was going to die. And I said, God, this is impossible. And even in death, God kept me. Even through suffering and whatever you're going through in your life, God can keep you. And if he did it before, he can do it again. It reminds us of what God has done in our lives. You've been healed from a sickness. You should have died a long time ago and you're still ticking. You should have lost your mind because of all the things that have happened. It reminds us. The next thing that prayer does, it revives us. It revives us. In prayer, we receive strength and power from God to overcome our circumstances and become the people God is calling us to become. Finally, prayer also releases us into the destiny that God has for us. It's a launching pad from where the rocket of our lives can be catapulted into the space God is calling us to. Many have received a call in prayer. Missionaries, pastors, business leaders, leaders of organizations fighting poverty and hunger. Marriages have been restored. Relationships have been healed. Addictions have been broken in prayer. Hallelujah. And can I just say this? We are never going to accomplish what God has for Heart and Soul Community Church if we are not a praying church, if we're not seeking God. And I'm not just talking about Wednesdays when we gathered. I would encourage you. We had a powerful time. There was four of us here on Wednesday night, and God was here, folks. I was weeping before the Lord. His presence was here. We were crying out to him, and God can work with four. Amen? I would encourage you to come out. It's Wednesdays at 5:30. It's a powerful time. But even if you can't do that, that's okay. My encouragement for you and for me is that every day we're crying out and we're praying to the Lord. Because as you're praying in your house, and you're praying in your house, and you're praying in yours, God is starting to do something, and it's going to come to pass. God's going to bring more and more people. You notice that there are some people that come for a little while, some people that we reach out to, but there's great, great adversity in their lives. And it's only going to be overcome through prayer. Amen? Prayer reminds us, it revives us, and releases us into what God has for us. Your prayers and mine have the potential to turn what we feel to be the ordinary story of our lives into a story that will be talked about for generations to come, like the story of Daniel. May we follow his example. The place where he prayed, bold prayers like he did, the direction of prayer. May we pray the Our Father, consistency in our posture in prayer. May we heed the words of Jesus' teaching, how to pray. May we be reminded, revived, and released into all the wonderful things God has for us this year. Amen? Amen. Daniel prayed. Jesus prayed. May you and I develop the habit of praying to God, and we'll see amazing things. On your chairs, there's a bookmark that has several thoughts on different things that you can do to help your prayer life. One of them is just to encourage you to pray the Our Father. Another is there's some resources there. There's a book called Celebration of Discipline that would be a wonderful book on teaching us the habits. You know, another thing that I didn't mention there is every day I pray the Psalms. Every day. When I don't pray the Psalms, I can feel it. After I pray the Psalms, I feel like we can conquer the world. But before, I need to pray the Psalms every day. So that's something I do. I pray the Our Father, and I pray the Psalms. All of them? No. There's a lot of chapters. 150 of them. But I tell you what, it's become my practice to read through the Psalms about every 35 days or so. It should be a month, but I don't ever get to a month. It's more like every 35 days or so. But continue to pray the Psalms. Pray the prayers that David prayed. And instead of just trying to pray off the cuff, sometimes I don't even know what to pray, I'll start praying. I'll say, man, David is praying what I'm feeling right now. There's something powerful about that. And I would encourage you to connect with that. Can we pray and bring this before the Lord? Father, I thank you for calling us to a life of prayer. God, I recognize that it's hard for many. I'm busy, or God, would you help us to be like Daniel, that in the midst of all the busyness, all the stuff, even the wickedness that was coming against him, he still took time three times a day, and he cried out to you, and he prayed in your direction. I pray you give us boldness to do that. May this be a year where our lives are transformed, that as 2019 begins next year, that we will look back and say, look at what God has done. Because we connected with him in prayer like never before. Help us, Lord, to be a praying church. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Amen, brother.